Wonder. Man, never heard that song, but I tell you what. If that don't stir something in you, you're just dead. I mean, really, that's real. I understood. I mean, let's just not beat around the bush. I mean, you don't have anything in you to understand what that really is, to have that wonder of wonder come down here to live, to die for you. I mean, what a wonderful thing. What a miracle that he would have looked down upon people like us.
Yeah, man.
Well, anyway, I'm excited about being in church. There's many places I could be. Dead in hell is one of them.
Thank you,
Jesus.
I could be in jail or prison.
That's right.
Could be out there with a needle in my arm in the street, homeless, hungry. I could be in a foreign country out there somewhere. But God tonight has seen in his mercy that we'll be sitting in the house of God, getting ready to hear the preacher and the songs. You know, it's easy to tell where the church service is going to go when the singing's going on and listening. You can tell who's prepared their hearts and who has not.
Right.
Let me just say this. If you prayed for the service today, wonderful. I'm glad you prayed for the service. But that is not preparing your heart for the service.
Right.
When you prayed for the service, you prayed in general. God wants us to pray in general for the service.
That's right.
But he also wants us to prepare our hearts. And you can hear it in the singing. Most singing don't have, people don't have joy in their singing. You know why? They've lost that joy or they're just not saved. One of the two.
Right.
I love to sing. I love to shed tears. Why? Because I think back to that time that I was lost and undone. And I think of that time that I could have been dead and in hell for 40 years. God was long-suffering on somebody like myself. That means something to me. You know, Zach, what happens? People lose that joy.
Right.
Or they just never got it.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, we're going to spend a few minutes. I do thank God for today. Me and my wife were able to get some rest. We were able to spend quite a bit of time in the Word of God. She was sitting at the table, and I was sitting up at the counter, and next thing you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But man, there's nothing like it, Brother Zach. Do you know how long it's been since I've got to sit in the Word of God like that, and just me and God sit down with each other, and he's just running me through that Bible, man? I'm getting one verse, and he's bringing me to another verse, and he's bringing me to... I said, praise God.
That's right.
I said, my God, we got to stop right now, because we got things got to do at about 2:30 before we left the house. You ever had joy in your book like that?
Sir.
You ever have that wonderful time with God where nothing else matters on this planet, that you could be just a few feet from a wonderful, beautiful woman, and she doesn't even matter to you at that time. It's just you and God.
Right.
Brother, you know what happened when I sat there and studied that Bible? I didn't have a care about the world.
Right.
I didn't have a care about my finances.
That's
I didn't have a care about my pains.
Right.
I didn't have a care about sufferings. I didn't have a care about ministry. I didn't have a care about nothing.
Sir.
It was just me and the Holy Ghost sitting down and going through that Bible. And I tell you what, there ain't nothing like it. I don't get it enough.
Right.
And it's precious when I do get it. And then my wife, she started preaching to me about hypocrisy. And I about tore me up. I said, maybe I can't preach tonight. Holy moly. How do you expect me to preach tonight? What you doing that? Man, but it's good. It was a wonderful time. But look, here it is. Look at Jeremiah chapter 13. I really do hope that you prepared your hearts beyond just praying for the service. And you know, sometimes it takes fasting to get your heart right. You know, that's a curse word, Carl, in Baptist circles today is fasting.
Right.
Nobody likes to fast anymore. And so maybe it was a year and a half ago, maybe it was a year ago, I talked to this crazy guy down in North Carolina, Pastor Vernon, you might know him. And he blew me up on the phone. He said, you know, I don't want men preaching behind my pulpit that won't fast. That tore me up. I said, the man's onto something. And I got in and I studied about fasting. I said, my goodness, we're all missing the mark if we're not fasting. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, if you're not fasting, there is a serious issue going on and you need to get it right and you need to get into fasting because Jesus Christ says some of these won't come out by prayer and fasting. You need to show God how serious this issue is to you. No matter what it is or what you're facing, the only way you're going to show God that you're serious is by a fast. You know what they did in the Old Testament? When they were serious about something, they fasted. And look at it. Don't fast just for a measly 1, 2, 3 hours. Come on, man. God knows you can handle that nonsense.
That's
Right.
You got to go beyond what you can handle. And when you go out there and you fast, it should be painful. They're in sackcloth and ashes, and they're crying, and they're weeping, and they're mourning to God because they got a serious issue that needs to be taken care of. And we go out there, and we do a little fast, and they go, oh, God, did you see how serious I was in that? And God is up in heaven vomiting sickness of what we think that we call some religious thing, something that we call that is pleasing to God. Just let me say this. What we think is pleasing to God is not. That's my reality. Look at Jeremiah 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Jeremiah 13, verses 1 through 11. Here's what it says. It says, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. He's just telling Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do, and I'm going to put it in our terms, put some underwear on. I want you to go out there, and I want you to get them, and I want you to put them on your loins. And look what he says in verse 2, and he says, so I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put them on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, take that girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, and go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. Could you imagine what Jeremiah must be thinking at this time? Jeremiah, what I want you to do is I want you to take some underwear, I want you to put them on, and then I want you to travel to the Euphrates River. Don't stop, don't wash them, you just keep going. Then I want you to find a hole. God, what in the world are you asking me to do? He's about to blow some people up by showing Jeremiah something, and then Jeremiah's responsible to go back and tell the people what God has shown him. Look what he says here. And so I went and I hid by the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise and go to the Euphrates and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. And then I went to the Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred and it was profitable for nothing. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imaginations of their heart, and walk after other gods, and to serve them, and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. I want to talk a little bit tonight about our religious, self-righteous pride and idols and God in our heart. Because we carry them around whether you're a saved person or whether you're a lost person. And God hates religion.
Yes.
And he's about to show Jeremiah something to go show the religious crowd what he thinks of it. He told the man to gird up his loins, put those things on. He had him travel in the hot desert sun to the Euphrates, sweating and smelling. Then take those things, and I want you to hide them in the hole. God knows how long they were in the hole. Then he said, take them out. And you know what he said? Look at verses 8 and 9. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar. That means he's going to render them useless. The pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. God just sent a man with a message to the children of Israel to show them of what he thought of the religious, prideful religion. He held that girdle up and he says, this is what I think of your religion.
That's right.
Imagine the smell on that. Imagine what it looked like after all that time. And God says, Judah, Judah, look at, this is what I think of your religiousness. This is what I think of what you are out there living, and you call it satisfying to me. You know what God said he's going to do with it, Carl? He's going to make it useless. And most of you sitting here today have a useless religion. It'll never do you any good. It's like that girdle. It smells, it stinks, and it's rotten.
That's right.
Right.
God sent a message through a man of God to the children of Israel to show them what he thought of their prideful religious foolishness. And you know what? God wants you to know what he thinks of your religion. We all have some form of religion in here that we need to get out of our life because God is not happy with it. It's a bunch of nonsense, and we try to smooth it over with our, well, you know, I could have been, or, you know, God must look down at me and see something. No, he doesn't. He looks at you like that girl.
Right.
How do I know that? Look, you don't have to turn there. Psalm 64:6 says this, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness is a filthy rags. God sees our righteousness, those things that we think that we're doing for him.
Yes, sir. Right.
Just because it looks good does not mean it's right in God's eyes.
Right.
Man, people live that way all the time, Carl. They think they're doing something good and God's going, no. Well, why am I being blessed for doing this thing, God? Because I don't approve of it. God doesn't approve of everything that looks good.
Right.
You can pray for something all you want. You can pray until you're blue in the face. God, why won't you give me that? I believe it's according to your will. There's your mistake. You believe it's according to his will.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
You believe living your little religion is going to help you out of something or get you somewhere, and it will not get you anywhere. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I said I was going to try to teach here tonight. I'm going to try to teach this. Lord willing, tomorrow night, I got up this morning and I said, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on this tonight, Lord. I said, I have no clue what I'm preaching on this morning. I said, Amy, give me a piece of paper. I said, I believe the Lord's going to give me a message this morning.
Amen.
And sure enough, the Lord gave me a message. Lord willing, I will preach it tomorrow night. That message that God gave me, I just want to make sure I have everything in order and check it. I don't want to just come here and spew anything out.
No, sir.
I want to make sure it's the truth and it lines up with the Word of God in context.
Right.
Okay? I worry about that kind of stuff. You know why? Because, Zach, one day I'm going to stand before a holy God.
Right.
And he's going to hold me accountable for the words that I say.
Amen.
There's many knuckleheads out there that are saying all this nonsense. It sounds real wonderful. But you know what it's doing, Carl? It's sending people to hell. They're going to have to answer to a holy God for that. And it doesn't even concern them.
Right.
God forbid if I ever get up here and do that. God sit me down. I tell God all the time, you can just go ahead and sit me down in the pew. I'll go to heaven from there. I don't need preaching to make me.
Right.
You know what makes me? Oh, it's not liberty behind bars that makes me who I am. It's Jesus Christ that makes me who I am.
Amen.
I don't need to go around and preach to make me who I am. I don't count on that to make me who I am. It's Jesus Christ that has made me who I am. And now he has sent me out there. Right. Many people live on, well, I preach or I have this ministry. That's why I am who I am.
Right.
That ain't me. By the grace of God, I am who I am. That's what Paul said. By God's grace, I am. Look at Luke chapter 18. We'll start in verse 9. Look what it says here. It says, and it spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Right off the bat, we see that these people already are trusting in themselves. Man, if that doesn't describe a religious person sitting in a Baptist church today.
Sure.
He says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. What did they trust in themselves for, Zach? That they were righteous. Could you imagine? Here's the difference between most religious people. I know where I came from. I know where God brought me from.
That's right. Amen.
Most people sitting in churches have no clue. Because they never allow God to bring them to where he wants to bring them from.
Right.
I don't trust in myself for my righteousness. Because I know I have no righteousness within me that's any good to God. And never will be any good to God.
Right.
But they trusted in themselves at... Could you imagine sitting in this pew right now? Maybe you do. Maybe you're struggling with it. Maybe it's you. I got to preach this to. Come on, Zach. Smile, bro. Trusting that you're righteous.
That's right.
Trusting in yourself that you're righteous. Let's go ahead and look at the Bible here. Look what it says here. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10. No, I'm not using Roman road. That was supposed to be a joke there. People like the Roman road. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Romans chapter 10. Look what it says here. Let's start in verse 3. Romans 10:3. but our own righteousness. Look what it says here. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that trusteth. Oh no, that says believeth. You understand? Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We are not our own righteousness. If we could get our own righteousness, then why did Christ have to die?
Right.
If it was our faith that saved us, then why did Christ have to die?
Right, sir.
You see, everybody wants to trust in themselves for their righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Our righteousness lies within Jesus Christ. This is why his blood had to be shed on the cross. It's because we cannot come up with a righteousness that would be acceptable unto God. Holy.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, he put an end to all that. And if you have Christ in you, then when God looks at you, Mike, he's not looking at your righteousness. He's looking at the righteousness of his son that's inside of you. He doesn't look at down and go, man, you're awfully right. No, I'm not righteous. It's Jesus Christ that has made me righteous. It's Jesus Christ in me that makes me who I am.
Amen.
Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're going to turn here to a few of them. If you don't know where this stuff is, take it down. Go check it out afterwards. You should be doing that anyway. Don't trust what a man has to say. The man can make mistakes. Okay? 2 Corinthians sure. chapter 5, verse 21 says this. For he... God had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in ourselves. In him. In him is our righteousness found. And so we see religious people. One of the very first things that you can look at a religious person to see is that they are trusting in themselves for their own righteousness. It's very easy to pick out. Just watch them for a while. Sit around and listen to what they talk about. Sit around and see what they're focused on. It'll show you their religiousness right off the bat. My goodness. Man, we travel around enough to watch people and we go, oh, and we walk out there and go, oh my goodness. It's not a wonder why lost people don't want to come sit in church anymore.
That's right.
What do we have to offer them?
Right.
Look, when somebody is in the lowest, when somebody's at that point in their life, they want out of what they're in. They don't want to join something else that's going to continue to give what they already have. I have guys in the jail and prison all the time come up to me when I was in Rochester. He said this, man, Dad, man, this guy set up a platform and he came up there and he was giving all these messages and he was preaching. And he said about 10, 15 minutes later, the man got arrested in a crack house smoking crack. Hey, Brother Dale, you know, let me ask you this. Why would I want to go to a church when they're doing the same things that we're doing out there on the streets, fighting and bickering?
Amen.
Hey man, that's what they look at. That's what they understand that's gonna happen when they get out and go to a church.
Right. Sure.
Why? Because that's what we've done. We've started living religion and not a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to understand this. To live and follow, it says this, if any man will, our choice, come after me, let him deny
himself.
Amen. Hey, how about that one you don't like in this room? Oh, you call yourself a Christian? You call yourself a Christian? What about that one you can't stand that's in this room right now? Let me see, you're not denying yourself. I mean to say this, Jesus Christ tells you to deny yourself and love that person. Well, I'll tell you this right now, we're not doing that anymore. We've lost the ability. Why? Because we've become religious people.
That's good, boy. That's right.
We don't have Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Jesus. He says you go and have a relationship with the people in that church.
That's right.
We're supposed to edify somebody else better than ourselves.
That's good preaching, Brother Dale.
You take the lowest person in this room, the person that has the least of anything, and he says, make yourself like them.
Right. Amen.
Let's do it. Let's have it. Who's doing it?
That's good.
I got a challenge for you. When is the last time you had somebody come knock on your door wanting what you had spiritually? Mm-hmm. Why not, Mike? Why aren't they coming with what you have? Why aren't they saying, hey, man, gosh, I heard about your church, Living Waters Baptist Church. I'd really like to come there. How come they aren't doing that, Zach?
right.
Tell me, why do we have so many empty pews in churches today? You know why, Mike? Because we're stuck in our religiousness. We're stuck in our self-righteousness. We're stuck on ourselves. We're not wanting to deny ourselves and say, hey, you got to prepare yourself to, you know, come to meetings and stuff. Man, prepare. All right, Lord, I pray for the meetings. And so that's, people call that preparing themselves.
That's right.
That's right.
We need prayer. I'm not knocking prayer. Please don't take me wrong. But that is not preparing your heart
for
service.
That's right.
You know what services are? I'm going to get into that.
Good.
They're trusting in the righteousness. And look what it says, the very next part of that. In Luke 18, verse 9, it says, and he spoke the parable to certain who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and despised others. Man, you want to talk about people who can despise people in church better than any place I've ever seen it. At least the men in prison to let you know they despise you.
That's right.
Not in church. They'll come up, shake your hand. Oh, that was a good message. Or they won't even come and talk to you at all.
Yeah.
That's right.
How many pastors' wives haven't we met? How many congregations, men, women that walk out and never said a word to us? Why? They despise. Why? They're trusting in their self-righteousness.
Right.
Oh, you're easy to pick out in this room. Trust me, I know you enough to know.
Right.
It's not hard to find out that one who's self-righteous. God says, people put a smile on their face and have bitterness in their heart towards the man of God. I know there's people right now that when the men of God get up here and preach or maybe somebody's playing the piano, there's despising going on in their hearts.
Sure.
Why? Because that person is caught in their own self-righteousness, their own religion. Okay? Look what he says here. Let's go on. And it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. Man, we're talking about self-righteousness. It's not making a list of things you didn't do. It's telling yourself that I don't do what they do. Well, at least I don't do what that person does. Well, at least I look what they're doing. I don't do that. That is self-righteous. And I'm going to tell you, we got churches full of self-righteous people sitting there today, just like this Pharisee here who's sitting there telling God all the wonderful things he does. And God is vomiting in heaven every time you sit there and try to tell him how wonderful you really are.
Yes, sir.
If you were so wonderful, then why did his blood have to be shed for you? Why did he have to die? And let me just say this, because I want to bust some people's bubbles, and his soul went to hell.
Right.
So many people today, Zach, they have a problem because they hear somebody say that Christ's soul went to hell. If his soul didn't go to hell and be that perfect burnt offering, you'd still be going to hell to pay that price.
Right.
I can show you in the Bible. We can talk about it afterwards if you have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with it.
No problem.
Not one problem. What's so big believing that my Savior paid for it in full?
That's right.
It says he came what? Not to destroy the laws and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He didn't say prophecies only.
That's right.
Everybody wants to have prophecy, conferences and everything else. Let's go have a law conference.
That's right.
Because he said prophecy and law. He had to fulfill both. If he didn't fulfill both, we'd all be going to hell tonight.
That's right.
Well, I get prophecy.
Yeah.
What's one of them? Burnt offering outside the gate, Hebrews 13:3.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13, okay? Tell you about Jesus Christ being outside that gate, being burned as a
lamb. That's right.
So Psalm 16.
Yeah.
I can get in. I'm not going to get into it right now. But you know, I'm going to just say this. Lord willing, tomorrow night, we'll talk about that.
Good.
Here's that publican. He says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners and unjust and adulterers or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week and I give the tithe of all that I possess. And he's just telling God, he's letting him know everything that he does. I mean, how many times have you found yourself telling God, look at Lord, I do this and I do that and this is what I'm doing. Lord, look at me. I just gave somebody a tract. Look, I witnessed to him. And in your heart, you could care less about that person. Or maybe you just felt comfortable with that person. But what about the one, as Tim McVeigh says, with the purple hair and the bone in their nose?
Right.
How come you're not talking to that person?
That's right.
How come you're not walking up to that big biker dude?
Right. Dude, I love him.
How come you're not walking up to that black guy? Wearing all red. Come from the hood. How come you ain't walking up to him and tell him about Jesus?
That's right.
Come on, Pharisee. Come on, come on. I mean, what is it? What, it's good to go and just tell the good little white people that are walking in grocery store. Look, I'm not for all that nonsense.
That's right.
Jesus Christ came to die for every single person, no matter what color it is.
Yeah. Amen.
People just get into this foolishness, man. It drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. That's when they right, do that stuff, Carl. It drives me nuts. Sure. Because you know what? I tell people this. I don't go into jail and prison because of what they've done. I go in there because Jesus Christ died for them and wants them to have life.
Amen.
There ain't no other reason why I'm going there. I'm not going there to say, oh, you don't belong in jail or prison. No, you belong exactly where you're at.
That's exactly right. That's right.
Hope to God you can get Jesus Christ and never have to come back in here again. Amen. But man, these religious nonsense. We're going to go out door knocking and they go to the whitest neighborhood on the planet. Get me in the ghetto, man. Get me away from the white people. That's what I told him last night. I said, thank you for the place to stay. By the way, it's the whitest place I've ever stayed. I'm just being, hey, I'm being real. I'm comfortable, man. I'm comfortable wherever you put me. It's a reality. But yeah, we got these, you know, these self-righteous religious people who just, I can't imagine myself wanting to talk to a Puerto Rican. Now, this color guy here.
That's right.
Bunch of nonsense.
Yes, sir.
That's all it is. But you know what? It's in this room.
Yes, sir.
It's in this room. I can tell by the faces.
That's right.
You know what happens? People start shutting it off when you start hitting things. That's a religious person. When that conviction starts coming across them, they start shutting that off. They start plugging their ears.
That's right.
It's okay. Look what it says here. Then the publican, standing afar off, he would not lift up so much his eyes upon heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Yeah. And that's the problem. Most religious people forgot that they're a sinner, and they're saved by grace, if that's where they even are. You don't even know if you're preaching the same people anymore today.
Sir.
Most likely, you're not.
That's right.
99% of the churches that we go in, 99.9% of the people are lost.
Right.
Including the man behind the pulpit.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sir. Right. All they have is a religion.
Yes, sir.
They have no clue about the relationship with Jesus Christ. None. Amen. That relationship will change your life for eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house more justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased.
Amen.
And he that humbled himself shall be exalted. You know, sometimes I walk up to some people and I say, excuse me, sir, can you put your nose down a little bit? Because they're walking on. My goodness. I thought we were brothers.
Right.
You're supposed to be my brother in Christ. Now I'm going to go out there and tell people about your goody two-shoe church. You see, that's what we run into, Brother Dave. People like us come in, Zach. We come in there and start preaching, and you know what it does? It turns them people off. Mm-hmm. They can't have, okay, man, that bro, I can't believe the stuff he says from that. I can't believe he even would say something like that or think something like that. They're no better than the Catholics.
Yes,
no better than the Methodists. They're no better than any of them out there. They're all a bunch of religious fools.
Yes, sir.
You know what God says they are, Mike? Like that pair of stinky underwear. Good for nothing. Good for nothing. Miss Mumber, if they were good for anything, their church would be full of unsaved people or saved people. Bar, how about the bars and strip clubs that are still open around good churches? How about it? You know, back in the day, Brother Carl, they'd get to preaching and those bars and stuff would be closed down?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah.
What was that church up in Idaho? How many bars are in the area? 45 bars. 45 bars in the area of a church. It's a good King James Bible believing church.
Yes.
Just saying, what's going on?
That's right.
Religion. It ain't helping nobody.
That's right.
It ain't helping these men stay out of jail and prison, Carl. I can promise you that. It ain't helping them a bit. All the, well, you know, there's Rock of Ages jail and prison ministry, and there's this, I don't give a rip about who they are.
That's right.
What you're going in there and telling them people, I have to come in and undo. Because your religious nonsense will never help them. It will only ever be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ever. Point, not Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that.
Amen.
Jesus and Him alone Amen. Will change a person forever and an eternity.
Amen.
My goodness, have we really lost the belief that Jesus Christ can change a life or deliver a person? That's how churches are living today.
You're
They're
right.
living like they don't believe Jesus can change a life.
You're right.
And then we look around and wonder, and they want to complain about Joe Biden. Let me tell you about complaining about Joe Biden. I don't agree with anything he has to say, but let me, when's the last time you prayed for him to get saved?
That's right.
That's a reality.
Amen.
You want to complain about him, but you don't pray about him. And God's going to say, hey, why didn't you pray for Joe Biden? Well, I didn't think he could. So you, what you're telling me is, now you're talking to God. So what you're telling me is you didn't have hope that Joe Biden could get saved.
Right.
That's called hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
2 Corinthians, Paul warns us not to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ? By not having hope for every single man, woman,
right.
and child on this planet. When you look at a person and say, I don't think they could ever. I don't know if that could ever. I don't think God could ever. You just hindered the gospel. You will answer for that in heaven. But that's how we walk around. Just check yourself the next time you're in a store out there somewhere and somebody walks by you. How are you thinking about them? You expose your own religiousness. What is the religious, self-righteous, prideful idols and gods that are in our lives? Well, we never miss church. We dress right. We carry the right Bible. We pray. We read. We tithe right. We walk right. And when others do wrong, we judge them for doing wrong.
That's right.
There's our gods in the Baptist church. Because we dress right. We have the right Bible. We say the right things. We walk the right way. We tithe the right way. And there's our little gods in our heart. There's our little things that we think that we're really doing something for God. We really think we're being real religious for a holy God. And He's looking down at us going, what? Are you kidding me? Those are just the basic things that I expect from you.
Mm-hmm.
But we take that as being good religious people. Oh, how sick. How sick have we become to fall into that nonsense. You know what James 4:16 says? But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil.
Right.
If your heart ain't right in anything that you're doing for the house of God, it is evil in God's eyes. Could you imagine your tithing may be evil?
Right.
Your reading may be evil.
Right.
Your praying may be evil. Your dressing the way you dress may be evil. Your talking the way you talk and walking the way you walk may be evil. Why? Because in your heart you're boasting about what you're doing for God. And God ain't looking at that like He's happy about a bit of it.
Amen.
He says any kind of boasting is evil. God is not interested in what we do outwardly, no matter how good it is. He's looking in the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Let me just tell you this, my friends. There's going to be a day, whether you're lost or you're saved, that you're going to stand there before a holy God. And everything that you've ever thought, in church, out of church, and out in the world, God is going to expose it, and everybody's going to see it.
Right.
The true you will be exposed to everybody.
Amen.
And how many people does that bother today?
Zero.
Church people could care less about what's going to happen in the future. They don't even live their life considering when they stand before God what He might say to them.
Yeah.
Oh, I love God so much. You know what it says if you love Him? Keep His commandments.
Amen.
You know what it says if you love Him? Love His word.
That's right.
He says do them. If you love Him, you'll do these things. A lot of people have come up with this lip service. They've come up with this lip religion. They talk a great game. But they can't live a lick of that Bible. And God is looking down and saying, hey, you need to live this thing that that I've given you, not just talk about it. My goodness, you ever stick there and all you hear from behind the pulpit is a man boasting on himself in the church? There's nothing more sickening on this planet than listen to that. We need to be glorifying Jesus Christ. We need to be glorify what he's done for us. We need to get out of this religious nonsense and get back into that relationship that we've had with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
My goodness, you know what's a shame? Is how Christians fit perfectly in with the world today. You can't tell them apart. You can't tell by the way they walk, the way they talk. You can't tell by anything outside of the ordinary unless they got a magnetic bumper sticker on their car or whatever else telling somebody they're a Christian. But man, my goodness, that's the only way people can tell you're a Christian today. You got some kind of bumper sticker or a little fish on your car or something. That's disgusting. I didn't see Jesus walk around with a fish tattooed on him or nothing. Put a fish on my neck. I'm a Christian. I had a guy tell me this. He said, you know, I got saved. He said, then I used to sit at the bar stool and drink a beer preaching to people. I said, my goodness, are you kidding me? But that's what people are doing.
Yeah.
Oh, since they legalized marijuana? Christians are full board on smoking.
That's right.
They're smoking like chimneys out there, man. Like it's okay to do it.
That's right, bitch.
Amen.
You kidding me? What was that rub stuff somebody tried to say? Hey, why don't you use that?
CBD.
Yeah, CBD. Imagine that. CBD. I said, I wouldn't use it if you gave it to me for free. I wouldn't use it if you tried to dump it on me.
Right. It's for the weak.
I don't need that stuff. Right. I need Jesus, my friend.
Yeah.
I need what concerns him. Look, and if you're not concerned about what Jesus has, if you're not concerned about living for him, there is an issue. And I can tell by most faces in this room, there are some issues in your heart and your life.
Right.
There are bad things going on. And you don't even want to hear it. Man, if I went on for another hour, it would kill you. But guess what? I might. See, go ahead and just get up and walk out of here. Show people how much you despise sitting here. Show them how much you hate being here. Because it's the truth.
Right.
Stop lying to yourself. God sees it. No sense in playing the game anymore. Your religion ain't going to get you nowhere. It never will. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14. We'll be done in a few minutes. We'll be done when the Holy Ghost tells me I'm done. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14.
Amen.
I know how it is. I used to sit down and be preaching like that too. My problem was I loved it.
Amen.
I wanted it. Why? Because I wanted out of what I was.
I
needed it.
Amen.
I did not want to live like I lived any longer. And I'm talking, that was 4 years of sitting underneath the preaching of the Word of God. I sat there for 4 years lost, sitting there for the preaching and the preaching. And I just didn't want that life anymore. I'd already begun to get rid of the alcohol and stuff out of my life.
Right.
But you know what it was? It was that inner turmoil that I couldn't handle.
That's right.
It was that darkness inside of me. It was the being a double person. It was my thinking that would drive me crazy. I would sit on the edge of my bed and say, God, why are you letting me live another day? I didn't know that he wanted to save me.
Right.
He let me live because he wanted to save me.
Amen.
Because he loved me.
Yes, sir.
Thank God he let me live.
Amen.
I'd be in eternity but not burning.
Yes, sir.
Look at Ezekiel.
Amen.
Chapter 14, look at verse 2, and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these have set up their idols in their heart, and put stumbling blocks of their iniquity. That's the lawlessness. Iniquity is different than sin. It's the lawlessness within your heart. The sin is the thing that you commit because of that iniquity. You're a lawless rebel against God, and you never will be anything different. And God holds that iniquity against us. It says, what has separated between you and your God, your sins and your iniquities? And here they got iniquities, it says, before their face. And it says, God says, should I be inquired of all? Look at your iniquities are in your face. It's before you. You know it. And yet you continue to do it. And God says, should I answer them? Why should I answer them when they know their iniquities, when they know their lawlessness, when they know that they're a rebel in their heart and they want me to answer them? Do you know we settle for that? We think that we're okay with the, those iniquities and sins in our lives, right, and we're okay with that because we think that maybe one day, well, God's just telling me no right now. God's telling me to wait right now. And God is saying, no, it's your sins and your iniquities. They're in between me and you, and you can't see it. And I'm trying to show you what's going on. Why? They're so blind by the religion. They're so blind by the religious duties. They're so blind because they grew up in church.
Right.
That don't help nobody.
No.
I know a bunch of lost people that were lost and just now getting saved. They grew up in church too.
Right.
I know some of them that, you know what? They never had the opportunity to get saved. They're burning in hell tonight.
Yes, sir.
Grew up in church in a Sunday school. You ever think about that, Michael? That God allowed you to live. And I know other students that are sitting, other Sunday school students called today that are dead in hell. Some are still in prison and have a chance. And they grew up in the same Sunday school you guys did. That's not even a face off. You watch these churches and people are dropping off, Mike, because somebody made a profession. That guy, a person says, well, we know where they are today. They're in heaven. Even though he put 15 needles in his arm and put a bullet in his head.
Right.
He lived a life of hell for 30 years, but he made a profession when he was 15.
It's not the Bible.
I'm going to tell you right now, that profession is sending you straight to hell.
Right, Richard.
That, a profession is not salvation, Jesus Christ. I don't care how many times you profess. I professed a whole lot of things. Let me tell you, that profession did me no good. It
right.
wasn't until I got Jesus Christ that it did me any good.
That's right.
Right.
You know what they've become today as professional professors? Mm-hmm. They, you know what they do in their hearts, Carl? They'll sit there when the service is going on and they'll profess in their heart, well, Lord, just in case.
Yeah.
What do you mean, just in case? You mean you didn't get it the first time you made that profession?
Hmm. Well, that's exactly right, preacher. I know people that's done it.
They do it. I hear it. Well, you know, I got saved when I was 4. And then, you know, when I was 16, I said another prayer just in case.
Right.
I go, you better say another one to get the real one then, because you missed both times.
Sir.
Who else is going to tell them?
That's right.
But there's nobody out there telling these people. And I said, God, if you would just open the doors to me to get in churches, I will go out there and tell them. I'm not afraid to do it.
Right.
You know why? Because I care about those people. I care about where they're going to spend eternity because I know where they're going to go. So, Lord, if you just open those doors, we'll go in there and we'll do it. Lord, you keep those doors open in jail. Why? Because I need to go teach those men about the religious nonsense that's out there.
Right.
I want them to see who Jesus Christ is, not religion. I asked those men the other day, I said, let me ask you something. What has your religion changed in your life?
Good.
And they all looked at me and they understood perfectly nothing.
Right.
I said, my religion stopped me from coming to jail and prison. How about yours?
It's good.
It's good right there.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Man.
And I love those men. I don't put them down. They love me. I can say things to them that you might not be able to ever. But you know why? Because I've earned their respect.
That's right.
I don't go in there like some punk trying to punk them off. They know that I love them and I'm only telling them the truth. You know why I travel around the churches? To tell people the truth. You know why? Because so many people are punks and they're afraid. Those men behind the pulpits are punks. They're afraid. I call them pulpit gangsters.
Amen.
Tennessee out there calling me out. Well, you know, you New Yorkers. Yeah, hide behind the pulpit and call me out. Why don't you do that outside? Call me a New Yorker. All right? I don't care about this whole Civil War nonsense.
Right, right. Even about Jesus.
Am I right, Ian? I had to leave the church. It got so bad, not once, but 2 times in a row. And they call themselves rebel preachers. I'm like, yeah, that's what you are. A rebel preacher hiding behind a pulpit trying to call somebody out. You call me out outside on something. Don't stand there behind a pulpit doing it. Let's go ahead and take a walk outside and you call me that.
Good.
Right.
Crackhead. That's what they are, crackhead. It's okay to drink.
Help us.
And he said, when I had COVID, I drank whiskey every day. You know why? Because Jesus already forgave me for those things. Mike, that's what's being preached out there. You know what I had to do, Mike? I kid you not. I had to say, come on, Amy, Luke, Autumn, my daughter's right there, she could testify. I said, we're leaving.
I went back in that room and said, all sit down right now, get your Bibles. And I went in that Bible and I showed my family why that's all fallacy, why it's all garbage.
Good.
Nonsense.
Good. Sure.
You know why? That's my responsibility to teach my family.
Sure.
Teach your family.
Amen.
Mike, teach your family. Show them, because if nobody else is gonna, somebody's gonna come creeping, my friend.
Yes, sir.
They're gonna come creeping, and guess what they're gonna try to get? Those little girls.
Yes, sir.
If your little girl knows, your little girls know, guess what? You'll be a big help teaching them that Bible.
That's right.
I'm not saying you don't. You know, Charity, I'm always hard on that stuff, man. Deuteronomy 6 tells us that we should be telling our entire family. You pray with your wife at night, Mike? You better start. Who else is married in here? You pray with your wife at night?
Sure.
You grab their hand and pray with them.
It's good.
Pray with them and say, Lord, thank you for bringing this family together, protect our home. Help us wake up. You know why? Because one of you may not wake up in the morning. What was your last feelings? What was your last thoughts towards one another? I want my wife to either go to eternity or me go to eternity. No, we prayed one with another and that we loved each other for the last time that we may see each other.
That's
good.
Sure. Amen.
Why? That's the responsibility of a man. Okay? Let me just tell you this. Religion can't teach you how to be a man.
That's right.
It's going to take a relationship with Jesus Christ to teach somebody how to be a man. My pastor didn't come to my house, Zach, every day and teach me how to be a man. But that King James Bible and the Holy Ghost of God taught me. And
Amen.
He's still teaching me.
Amen.
I'm not perfect at it by any means. But let me just tell you this. They're out there pumping this religion in people. And let me tell you something. It's hard to find a man in a church anymore. All you find is biological males sitting in pews. Where are the men?
Good question.
When I bring my son around, Charity, if you ever get the opportunity and you get to travel around to more churches, you're going to want your son to be able to look around and see men, not males.
That's right.
And Baptist churches, they're going out by the dozen. They're all little effeminate boys standing up there.
You're right.
Know anything about manhood. Why, you know, I grew up in church my whole life. My, what the? Sometimes I think they're half gay.
Probably.
I always look at my wife, I say, man, he's gay. Mm-hmm. He's got 15 kids and he's gay. Why? Because I like that paycheck, bro. I know, it's harsh, but I'm just telling you the reality of what I travel around seeing. Why? Because, I mean, it's a bunch of religion.
I serve you.
Do you understand? There's not Jesus in anything that I'm saying here tonight.
I love it.
There's not Jesus in a bit of it, Mike. But everybody's walking around like they have this thing going on. They don't have it going on. Those same men that I see preach against sodomites are the same ones involved in it.
Right.
Look what it says here, verse 4. Speak therefore, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4. Speak therefore unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and I cometh to that prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Look at verse 5. That I may take the house of Israel where? In their own hearts. Most people sitting in churches today do not even realize that they're prisoners of their own heart, and God has put them captivity to it.
Right.
The worst punishment that a Christian can ever have is being turned over to their own heart.
Yes, sir.
You'll experience that here soon, new saint people. You'll experience what it is to be turned over to your heart by a holy God. And I tell you right now, it's the most miserable place you'll ever be on the planet.
Right.
You'll wish death rather than God turn you over to your own heart.
Right.
But you know how he punished Israel? By turning them over to their own heart. Why? Because it was the only way he's going to get their attention. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done with religion.
Yes, sir.
People desire so bad to have a religion in their life that God has turned them over to the religiousness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trapped in it. They can't even see it.
Sure.
It's going to take a miracle of God to come in, for some man to come in and preach that Bible, and it will break that, and it will show them exactly where they stand. You know why? Because God said he's going to mar that thing. He's going to make it worthless. Let's just take a look around. We can't blame our government for all the failures of our churches.
That's right.
So what is it then? They become worthless. God has marred the churches, and
they become worthless.
That's right.
I have some here.
You're right, preacher.
Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9 says, ye hypocrites. There's that word, Amy. Well, that Isaiah prophesied, you saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain, that means a worthless worship. They worship me, teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men. I have never in my life seen so many people turn to what man has to say. For I've heard it for the first time in my life when I heard a man say this. We were debating and having a good conversation about the Bible. And I said, well, the Bible says this. And he said, well, so-and-so's commentary says this. I said, well, the Bible refutes that. He says, well, this says this, so this is what I believe.
Right.
Is it a wonder why I don't read commentaries, dictionaries, and other people's books? And if I do, I sit down with my King James Bible open because I can see where they're wrong?
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm not calling you reading other books wrong. But they are merely tools.
Right.
Nothing else.
That's right.
The very moment you start choosing a book over that book, there's a problem. And let me tell you right now, they're doing it all day, every day.
Amen.
Why? Because they're trapped in religion. Right. They believe what that man had to say. That man has more to say than the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And people are trapped in that. That's why I call them hypocrites.
Right.
You say you believe the King James Bible, but you're worried about Hebrew and Greek and Arabic. Could you imagine me going into the prison saying, all right, guys, to get a better understanding of salvation, you have to learn Greek. They might grab a shank and start hitting me up, you know? Could you imagine? For you to get a better understanding, you got to know Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Okay?
You'd have guys in there trying to learn it, but it'd be the wrong time.
Trying to learn. They don't even know that they're not even speaking the same Greek and Hebrew that was back then.
Right.
It's not even close to the same dialect. But yet they believe that they're learning these things. Why? Because a man has come in and told them, you need to know this in order to understand this. Let me tell you what I need to know to understand anything that God gives. It's right here.
Amen.
I need to know this.
That's right.
I'm going to make this quote. It's something that God laid on my heart a couple years ago. I don't believe this King James Bible to be the Word of God because what was written about it. I believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God because what's written in it.
That's right.
Amen. It's what's written in it, not what's written about it. I could care less what's written about it. And my pastor, who I love dearly, has written some wonderful books. But he has not convinced me that the King James Bible is the Word of God.
Right.
The Holy Ghost of God convinced me that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Yeah. And he's got some good books. I'm not putting his books down by any means. I read them. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe the Bible because of what some man wrote about it. I believe the Bible because of what God wrote in them.
Right.
And today, you can't find people out there today that all they could care about is learning their Bible.
That's right.
Because some man made a note, because some man wrote a book, because some man did this. What is that? That's the religiousness. They're caught in that nonsense. Look at Ezekiel 33. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read this quickly. I'm going to end this. Ezekiel 33, 31, and 32 says, and they came unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people.
Right.
And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. A self-righteous religious person will not do the things that is preached about. They will not listen. They leave and come. They leave and come the same way they've always been. Why? Because their knowledge makes them think that they're something they're not. They've got all this knowledge. And I got to look at those men that are in prison because you know, Carl, they got a lot of knowledge and a lot of everything. And when you go in there, I just have to say, hey, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says knowledge puffeth up.
That's right.
That makes you think you're something you're not.
That's right.
And there are many people sitting in churches tonight who have all knowledge and it makes them think they're something they're not.
That's right.
You notice it said puffeth, E-T-H on the end of it? Mm-hmm. That means it's something that continues to happen.
That's right.
That knowledge continues to deceive them. It's misplaced knowledge. It's not put in the right place. It's not coming from the right person. It's not coming from the right place. And so it's misplaced knowledge. And so those people build religions off of that.
me to say this. This is not just for a religious person that's sitting in church pew, but for the law-seeking person that starts to build and put these idols in their heart when they're lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6, and we're going to close with that. Look at what it says here. I think you quoted it earlier. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6 says this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Most people misquote that and say shine in them. It doesn't say it. It says unto them. Why? Because it's a darkness. It's a blindness to them. And that gospel's got to be preached in order to tear that out of the way. And then that a light can shine unto them.
Right.
What's blinding them? The God of this world has promised people a religion. If you'll just do this, if you'll just carry this Bible, if you'll just dress this way, if you'll just say these words, if you'll just go to a Baptist church. And the devil has blinded the minds of them. Which right. believe not. That's what are right. they not believing? They're not believing this book.
That's right.
They say it with their mouth, but their heart is far from them. You start challenging them in the things of God, and they start coming up with some nonsense. You just spend a few minutes with a few people and you can tell where they get their doctrine.
Sure.
You can hear the commentaries come out of their mouth. You can hear the things that they're studying come out of their mouth. And I go, my goodness, when did you leave the Bible?
Right.
Well, somebody, here's their excuse. Well, somebody already did the study on that.
Jeez.
My goodness, are you kidding me? Carl couldn't imagine being without my Bible. Do you know back in the Old Testament, Eli dies. You know why he died? Because the ark got taken. And he killed over and he died. Why? Because he knew the glory of the Lord had left. Eli's daughter-in-law, her husband dies. Her father-in-law dies. And her brother dies. I believe that's what it is. And you know what? She never even thought about them dying. All she could think about was the glory of the Lord. The ark left.
Right.
The King James Bible is being taken from us. The glory of the Lord, that King James Bible, has left America. And nobody cares. Including Baptists. Why? They've let the love of that Bible be overtaken by everything else in their religiousness.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God does not mean what it used to in our hearts. And you know what? We can get back to that. David said this, that your word is sweeter than honey. You know, when you taste something sweet, you want more of it.
That's right.
And more of it, more. You can't get enough of it. And David said that the Word of God should be that to us, but it's not. Why? Because of our religiousness. It's gotten in the way. It's taken that love from us.
Right.
When is the day that we'd ever think that we would lose the love of this wonderful Bible that God has given His people to be able to direct their lives? There's love stories in here that God given just to us. There's things that direct us in our life that God wrote specifically for us.
Right.
And He wants us to know these things, and yet we just flippantly read it. We look at it and say, okay, I'm going to go hear a man preach this thing, but I am sure not going to live what he says because I don't think he's right. The lost people turn seeking into a religion. I have seen lost people take their seeking and turn it into a religious thing.
Yes, sir.
And it becomes a religion. It becomes a badge of honor to be lost.
Right.
Let me tell you this. When I was lost and I knew that I was lost, it was no badge of honor to me. Right. It was complete grief.
Sure.
I was shook. I was scared to death that I was going to drop off in hell. I didn't walk around and say, well, you know, I'm lost. I fasted. I got on my face. I read that book. I was in every church service. I was listening to everything that I possibly could. And then nothing else on this planet mattered to me. Today, lost people, seeking people, have turned that into a religious badge of honor that they're wearing their chest around. And it's okay to be there. It is okay to be lost. But it's not okay to stay lost.
Right.
God doesn't want you lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Right.
I'm done here after this. Here we go. Amos 8, 11 and 12 says this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Right. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. You see, there's a famine going on in America, and it's the hearing of the word of God. You know why they can't find it, Zach? It says they seek, they walk, go to and fro seeking, and they can't find it because they're too busy changing it. Mm-hmm. We now have publishers that are King James Bible publishers who are changing the Bible.
That's right.
And I found them myself. How did you find them, Dale? Seeking, looking, searching, making sure that people that, making sure, Carl, that those men and women that are in jail and prison have a perfect Bible in their hands.
That's right.
And it takes people hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to change them. Why? Because their soul lies in it. Their soul lies in the fact that they have a King James Bible and a perfect one in their hands. Mm-hmm. Do you think people care about that today? Mm-hmm. Here's their question. Why do you spend $7 on a Bible? Could you imagine? Because people who are religious, like Judas Iscariot, are worried about the money. You want to find a religious person? All they think about is the money.
Right.
Judas Iscariot was worried about the money, not what she was doing with that ointment. Mm-hmm. People are worried about the money of buying people good Bibles, not worried about their soul.
That's right.
Why? It's religion.
Amen.
America has become religion. Here it is. You ready? Baptists have become religious people, the very people they preach against. They now have become like, I'm not a pastor.